Let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians again. There are really two verses that I would like to share with you for text. First of all, in 1 Corinthians 1:17. Now, this message this morning may be especially helpful, may answer some questions which you have. In 1 Corinthians 1:17, Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." Paul wasn't belittling baptism. He wasn't even insinuating that baptism was unimportant, insignificant. But he's trying to point out to us the main issue, the critical issue. And he said, "This is not why God sent me out to preach, only to baptize," he said, "but to preach the gospel." To preach the gospel. Now look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now most every sermon that is preached from this text takes one direction. And there's not anything wrong with this direction. There's a good possibility this was exactly what Paul was saying. And that is that he came to this great city of Corinth, a city of learning, a city of philosophy, a city of great human wisdom, a city of professors and teachers and books and learning, and a city of debaters, debaters of all things. And Paul is stating plainly here that he was not going to be drawn into their ways. He was not going to be influenced by them. He was not going to be influenced by them to engage in their speculation, in their philosophy, in their human reason, wisdom, and logic. But he was determined to preach nothing among them, to proclaim nothing among them, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now see if that's what you get. We'll read verses 1 through 7. "And I, brethren, when I came to you," came to this city, "I didn't come with excellency of speech to fascinate you and to impress you, or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony which is the gospel of God. For I determined," this was a determination of my soul and heart, "not to know anything among you. I'm not going to engage in your political business. I'm not going to engage in your educational process. I'm not going to engage in your speculation and debates. I determine in my heart not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And all of this, that your faith should not stand in a man's clever ways, in a man's human logic, in a man's wisdom, but that your faith and confidence and hope might rest in the power of God. So I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's my message. That's what I've determined here on television, in writings, wherever God opens the door for me to preach. Well, Brother Mann, do you mean by that Paul and you're following his pattern, that you don't talk about anything when you're teaching and preaching but the day of crucifixion? Is that all you're going to talk about? That Paul only preached the immediate and actual sufferings of Christ on the tree, Christ and Him crucified, and you spend all your messages and all your time talking about how He was tried and how He bore His cross out to Golgotha's hill, and how when there they put nails in His hands, some say in His wrist, and in His feet, some say it was a cross this way with a crossbar, some say it was just a straight up tree and that His legs were behind it, and you describe His sufferings and the blood and all these things that took Him down, put Him in a grave, and that's the end of your message. Certainly not. But let me tell you this, and I'll point out about 7 or 8 or 9 things here. Number one, if we preach Christ and Him crucified, in preaching Christ crucified, we will preach the attributes and the character of God which gave birth to the cross. In other words, we leave that cross, not ever really leaving it, but we go back before the foundation of the world, for He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And we take that cross up there in the purpose and plan of God, and we see in that cross all the character and attributes of God who determined to save sinners. Look at verse 24 of chapter 1. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. When I preach Christ crucified, I'm preaching God's eternal power and determination to save. I'm preaching God's righteousness, God's holiness. I'm preaching God's justice. In order to be just and justify, Christ must die. All right, secondly, if we preach Christ and Him crucified, we not only preach the character of God and the attributes of God, which include His holiness, His righteousness, His justice, His love, and His mercy, but we preach the sovereignty of God, His eternal purpose, His eternal covenant, His eternal will. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. You can't preach the cross of Christ without preaching the sovereignty of God. Because His death was not an accident. His death was ordained. His death was predestinated. His death was planned. His death was purposed. Look at Acts 4, verse 27. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel to gather together, to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. When we preach the cross of Christ, we preach the eternal purpose of God. We preach the glorious sovereignty of God. We preach that everything is planned and purposed by God in His eternal decrees and carried out on the cross of Calvary. All right, thirdly, if we preach Christ and Him crucified, we preach the eternality and deity and glory of the Son of God. Turn to John 17. In John chapter 17, this is the prayer of Christ before He went to Calvary. And He's talking about this sufferings which He will accomplish on the tree. In John 17, verse 2, listen to it. As thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given Him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. How do you preach the cross without preaching God's justice and holiness and righteousness? How do you preach the cross without preaching the covenant that devised the cross, and a sovereign God who purposed the cross? And how do you preach Christ crucified without preaching Christ in His eternal deity? For the death of Christ would be no more than the death of any other criminal if He were not the God-man. See what I'm saying? All right, fourthly, if we preach Christ and Him crucified, we preach the electing, unchangeable, eternal, conquering love of Jehovah to the sheep He's determined to save. Turn to John 10. Christ Jesus died not at random. Christ Jesus died not as a martyr. Christ Jesus died not as a reformer. Christ Jesus died not as an example. Christ Jesus died as a substitute, a sin offering. John chapter 10, if you will, verse 14 through 16. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Who gave them to Him? The Father did. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. They're mine. They were given me.
them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. You can't preach an election without preaching a cross. You can't preach God giving the Son a people without preaching Christ dying for those people. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. This was the message which the angel delivered to Joseph when he announced the birth of Christ. In Matthew 1, verse 21, he said to Joseph, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus," that is, Savior, "for he shall save his people from their sins." Now this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us." Now, my friend, take any of that passage there, take the cross out of it, and you don't have a message at all. If you take the cross out, if you try to preach God's character and God's attributes, you can't preach God's holiness, righteousness, and justice without the cross. If you talk about a covenant, if you talk about an election, you can't preach an election without a cross. If you talk about the redemption of a people and a sheep given to Christ, it's got to, all of it, be preached around that cross. That's what Paul is saying. I preach Christ and Him crucified. And in preaching Christ crucified, I preach God's eternal righteousness and justice and holiness and covenant and election. All right? Fifthly, if we preach Christ and Him crucified, we preach justification by faith without works. Turn to John chapter 3, if you will. John the third chapter, justification by faith without works. In John chapter 3, now listen to this, you can't feed works in here at all. You can't feed human deeds and human effort. Listen to John 3, verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him," believeth in Him how? Lifted up. "Believeth in Him crucified. I boldly declare that no man can be saved by believing only in the virgin birth of Christ. No man can be saved by just believing in the holy life of Christ. Christ has got to be believed as a redeemer, as a sacrifice, as a sin offering, as a substitute. Faith in Christ embraces Him as our redeemer, as our representative, as our effectual sin offering. Now in the sixth place, if we preach Christ, oh, Paul said this in Galatians 2:21. Turn to Galatians 2:21. I want you to look at this. Galatians 2, verse 21. Galatians 2:21. "I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness, if holiness, if acceptance with God come by law, then Christ died in vain." See how central the gospel central the cross is. If righteousness come to the law, then all of that was in vain. All right, now look at the sixth place. If we preach Christ in Him crucified, we preach the preservation and perseverance of believers. How can we comprehend all that took place on Calvary? Here the Lord Jesus was born of a virgin. Well, go back to eternity. God purposed and planned to send His Son into the world, and every type and picture and pattern pointed to Him. And then in that day, the angels came down to the shepherds and said, "We bring you good tidings of great joy. Unto you is born a Savior, Christ the Lord." And these angels found Him, and so these shepherds found Him, and then our Lord lived on this earth. And then He came to that trial and that agony in the garden, and He went to the cross, and there the forces of hell converged upon Him. And all of the wrath of men was poured out upon Him. They spit in His face. They drove nails in His hands.
and stood back and laughed at him while he suffered and mocked him when he said, I thirst. And then God the Father turned his back upon him, and the cloud and of God's and darkness of God's wrath fell upon him, and he drank the very bitter dregs of the cup of God's indignation and wrath, and he died alone crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then all this is over and the world's ended and Christ is there in glory. And he begins to look for his sheep. And there's a vacant chair and a vacant chair and a vacant chair and a vacant chair. Where are my sheep? Well, they fell away. They perished. You mean after all this? After all this, after all this eternal purpose and planning and suffering and agony, that I died for people that aren't here? Brethren, let me tell you something. That's foolish. Turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Listen to the word here. Isaiah 53. I don't know who his sheep are, but I know he said, my sheep hear my voice, I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. I don't know the people over this world out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue unto heaven for whom Christ died, but I know those for whom he died will be redeemed. Not one will be lost. He shall not fail. Listen to Isaiah 53:10. It pleased God to bruise him. This cross business is not the plan of men, it's the plan of God. This death of his son is not man carrying out his designs. That's man giving vent to his wrath and hatred, but that man carrying out God's designs. Please the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days of pleasure. The Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He's not going to fail. When I preach a cross and Christ crucified, I preach an effectual redemption. A redemption that redeems, a ransom that ransoms, a salvation that saves. Christ shall not fail. He shall preserve his people and they shall persevere. Turn to Jeremiah 32. He's not going to preserve them against their will. He's going to make them willing. He's not going to put them in chains except chains of love. He's not going to beat them to heaven with a whip. He's going to write his law in their hearts. In Jeremiah 32:38, and they shall be my people and I will be their God. I'll give them one heart and one way. They fear me forever for the good of them and their children. Now listen. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good. But I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. It works both ways. God's not going to desert his people, and they're not going to desert their God. God's not going to depart from them, and they're not going to depart from him. God is not going to cease to bless them, and they're not going to cease to call on him. John said if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be evident that they were not of us. When I preach the cross of Christ, I am preaching perseverance. I am preaching preservation. I am preaching God Almighty fulfilling all that he set out to fulfill in the death of his son. In the seventh place, if we preach Christ in him crucified, we preach holiness of character and an obedient walk on behalf of believers. For we have been crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, and risen with Christ to walk in newness of life. Turn with me to the book of Romans. That's what he's saying here in Romans chapter 6. My friends, a believer never justifies his failures, his sins. He never justifies his rebellion. He wants to glorify God. He wants to bring glory to the God who called him out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Listen to Paul here in Romans 6, beginning, if you will, with verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man, our old nature, is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, we should not live in sin. He that's dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Christ. Knowing that Christ being, and you see how this holiness of life and character is based on the death of Christ. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, and death hath no more dominion over him, in that he died unto sin. In that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves also, just as Christ died under the wrath of God for our sins and was buried and rose without sin, reckon ye yourselves indeed to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians the 5th chapter, verse 19. And I'm saying this as bold as I know how to say it. People who use salvation by grace as an excuse for sin do not know what salvation by grace is. People who use salvation by the death of Christ as an excuse to walk in rebellion against God and in sin have not even tasted of the grace of God. Because the grace of God makes us new creatures in Christ. It makes God's people truthful people, honest people, righteous people, people who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Listen to Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They that live this kind of life shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They that walk in this vein reveal that they do not know the grace of God. They've never been crucified with Christ and never risen to walk in newness of life. But here's the fruit of the Spirit. Here's the fruit of a Spirit indwelt life. Listen to it. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now watch this. And my friends, all of this is preached in the light of what happened at Calvary. Look at the next verse. And they that belong to Christ, they that are Christ's people, have crucified the flesh. When? When Christ died. That's when I died, when Christ died. I died to the world. I died to the temptations of this world. I died to the ambitions of this world. I died to the ways of this world. I died to the companionship of this world. I died to a worldly attitude and spirit. When Christ died, I died. The old man was crucified with Christ, with the affections and the lust. That's when it took place. But you can't preach holiness without preaching Christ crucified. People misunderstand this, and I think they misunderstand it deliberately. I preach God's holiness and righteousness and demands on believers, but I do it in the light of the cross. All right, here's the eighth thing now. If we preach Christ and Him crucified, we preach His glorious resurrection and our resurrection. His entrance into glory is my entrance into glory. His return is for His own. Turn to John 14. Now we have no hope of resurrection if Christ be not raised.
We have no hope of sin being put away if Christ did not die.
We have no hope of eternal glory if Christ does not return. It's all based on His work, His person and work. John 14.
Let not your heart be troubled.
Speaking to his disciples. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. That's not mansions in the sense that you see a big house on a hill with six columns. That's dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that while I am there, you may be also. Now then, how can you preach the return of Christ, even a millennium or a thousand-year reign or whatever you want to preach about his return, when he's coming and how he's coming and with whom he's coming and what he'll do when he comes? How can you preach all that Christ coming to effect a glorious kingdom if you don't preach Christ on the cross purchasing that kingdom? That's what I meant. There's the important point. He cannot bring into effect a kingdom that he does not have. The way to the crown is by way of the cross. You can't bypass it. So when we preach Christ crucified, we preach the results of his crucifixion. We preach the reward of his crucifixion. We preach the glorious accomplishments of his crucifixion. On the cross, he bought us, and he bought that kingdom. Turn to Romans chapter 14. Let me show you something here. Talking about his lordship and his kingship and his deity. Romans 14:9. It says in Romans 14:9, for to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. Bob, that's, he died that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. And then in the next place, and finally, John 16. Turn over there a minute. If we preach Christ crucified, John chapter 16, we preach the work of the Holy Spirit. But you can't preach the work of the Holy Spirit apart from the cross. Because apart from the cross, the Holy Spirit has no work. He can't reveal a redeemer it didn't redeem. And it says here in John 16, verse 7, listen to this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away, and if I go away, the Comforter. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I'll send him to you. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. All conviction of the Holy Spirit is Christ-related. It's related to Christ in his death. You see that? The Holy Spirit's going to come and convince sinners of sin. Of sin, why? The sin of unbelief. And that's the granddaddy of all sin, because they believe not on me. What is there about Christ that we believe? Christ in his redemptive character. He's convincing the world of righteousness because I go to my Father. The Father accepted the righteousness that he accomplished. The fact that Christ has gone to the Father and been admitted into the presence of the Father is to declare from the Father that his righteousness is accepted. What righteousness did he accomplish? He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You can't preach righteousness without Christ crucified. And then of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Where was he judged? The seed of woman shall bruise the serpent's head. When did he bruise the serpent's head? When the serpent bruised his heel on Calvary's cross. That's when he crushed the power of Satan. The cross. The cross. Read on. Howbeit, when he is come, verse 13, the Spirit of truth, when he's come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself. Oh, how we need to learn this. He'll not speak of himself. He's not going, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. He's going to speak of me. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He'll show you things to come. He'll glorify me. He shall receive of mine and show it unto you. What's he going to show unto you? Christ crucified. That's the main thrust of this text. Go back to the text.
I'm going to quit, but I want you to see something here. This is so vital. And this is what Paul is saying to that city of Corinth. And if we could just...
Corinth was the New York of today, or the Washington, or the Los Angeles, or the Dallas, or the Louisville, or Lexington, or the Cincinnati. And Paul goes to that city of all of its prestige and influence and power, and all of its worldly effect and wisdom, and universities and colleges and all these things, and learned people, human logic, he said, I'm determined to know nothing among you except Christ crucified. But I'll tell you this, in preaching Christ crucified, brethren, we preached all that God purposed and planned from before the foundation of the world to what God Almighty will effect and bring to pass in eternity to come. We preach God's holiness and righteousness and character. We preach God's purpose. We preach the elective grace of God, the redemption of His sheep. We preach the holiness and godliness of His people. We preach a death to our old man and a resurrection to walk in newness of life. We preach His eternal kingdom, His intercession, His mediatorial work, His return. We preach all of those things. That's the thrust. But now here's the question I'm asking in closing. Look at our text firmly one more time. Just sit and look at it a moment. Paul said, verse 2, 1 Corinthians 2, I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, Him crucified. Now here's my question. That's Paul's statement. He believed and loved Christ crucified, trusted Christ crucified. Now here's my question. I know that's what Paul believed. Is that what I believe? Do I know Christ and Him crucified? Do I know about Him, or do I know Him? Do I know Christ, believe Christ, embrace Christ, rest in Christ? Have I come to that personal determination myself?
I know that's what the prince of preachers said. I know that's what the great apostle said. I know that's what the writer of 13 or 14 books said. But I want to know, is that what I say and you say? I am determined to know nothing save Jesus Christ and crucified. I can tell you this, two things, and I'll quit. This knowledge of Christ is the essence of Scripture. Now, I hear a lot of people who say, well, I know my Bible, but I'm saying this to you. A person who does not know Christ and Him crucified really has no understanding of this book. And you may know it, like I talked to somebody last night, you may know where the middle verse in the Bible is. Some people take great pleasure in knowing stupid things like that. So I ask one another, you know the shortest book in the Bible? You know the shortest verse in the Bible? You know where submarines are found in the Bible? You know where airplanes are found in the Bible? There weren't three wise men, there were more than three. I heard two fellas sit for an hour one night and talk about it. It never says there were three. I know my Bible. It never says there were three wise men. Let me tell you something. Turn to Luke 24. Luke 24. This is so serious what I'm talking about here. Luke 24. And I see these television programs, they're asking questions about the Bible, and they know the king that was over the 10 tribes and the king over the 2 tribes and all that sort of thing. Here's understanding the Scriptures. Listen. Luke 24, verse 44. He said to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And this he and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's the knowledge of the Word, the person, in His eternality, in His deity, in His incarnation, in His righteous life, in His crucifixion, in His burial and resurrection. My friends,
In Genesis, he's the seed of woman and the seed of Abraham. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb slain. In Leviticus, he's the scapegoat, the tabernacle, the priest, the atonement. In Numbers, he's the brazen serpent and the smitten rock. In Deuteronomy, he's the city of refuge. In Joshua, he's Rahab's thread. In Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. And you can go right on through the word. Every application, every revelation by these men who penned this word by the power of the Spirit was to point to Christ crucified. That's so. Now, here's the second thing I was going to show you. This knowledge of Christ crucified is the foundation of all spiritual knowledge. Now, turn to 2 Peter 3. I don't know whether I can make this plain to you or not, but I just know this is so. This knowledge of Christ crucified, Christ our substitute, Christ our Redeemer, is the foundation of all spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is knowing Christ crucified. Now look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and what? Savior. Jesus Christ. Growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, are inseparable. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ are inseparable. You grow in grace as you grow in the knowledge of Christ. See what I'm saying, Charlie? Those who have grace have it in Christ crucified. And those who grow in grace grow through a better knowledge of Christ crucified. I'll just show you this briefly. Faith. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer. I know him in what character? My Redeemer. Hope. Hope. Turn to 1 Peter 1. Look at this. Growing in hope. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Love. Our Lord tells us in John 15 to love one another as he loved us. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life. Comfort and assurance. Romans 8, Paul said, who is he that condemneth? Christ died. Giving. In 2 Corinthians 8, believers are exhorted to give, motivated by what? Christ, who was rich, became poor for our sakes. He gave himself. Forgiving. How are we exhorted to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave us? This knowledge of Christ and him crucified is profound and endless. Eternity itself cannot fully unfold the glory of Christ crucified, for in heaven they cry, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. That's the theme. And I'll tell you this. The only soft pillow for a weary head. When this old journey is over, and when you're tired, the knowledge of this world, all of it, the wisdom of this world, all of it, the riches of this world, all of it, the influence of this world, all of it, the popularity of this world, all of it, can give you no peace. It can't bring you through the judgment, and it can't give you an entrance into God's kingdom. But I'll tell you, if your heart and mind and soul is filled, not with the doctrines of grace, not with all of the Bible knowledge and theology that you've accumulated through the years, but if your heart, mind, soul, and everything is filled with an appreciation for and an understanding of and a love for Christ crucified. I tell you, that old weary head will lie softly on that pillow. It'll lie softly. It'll lie softly. Because that's the hope, confidence, faith, expectation of sinners is Christ and him crucified. And I know that people misunderstand because they don't want to understand. But I still say, I confidently say, openly say, with the Apostle Paul, I'm determined
not to be sidetracked. I'm going to know Christ and Him crucified. Among you and among whomever, and especially Mike in here, Christ and Him crucified. I once was lost, but now I'm found, and by God's grace I'm heaven bound. But my only hope, my only plea, is when He died for me. That's my plea. Our Father, because Christ was crucified, we can call Thee our Father. Because He died for us, because He put away our sins, washed them in His own precious blood. We thank Thee for Your word. Thank Thee for every precious promise. We thank Thee for the precious blood. We thank Thee, Lord, for precious faith. We thank Thee for a precious hope that we have in Christ and Him crucified. Use this message to glorify Your matchless name, for You alone art worthy. Bless, we pray Thee tonight as we assemble around the table, once again to set forth to Thee our faith in, to ourselves our rest in, and to our children instructions in Christ and Him crucified. You'll honor those that honor Your Son. We claim Thy promise. For His glory we pray. Amen.